We'll talk about the tabernacle some more, go through some things about the tabernacle. Last week we talked about the golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded that was put in the Ark of the Testimony. Tonight I'm going to talk about the hangings, the veils, all the hangings that were put up outside and inside the tabernacle. The first one I want us to look at is here in verse 16 of chapter 27. It's three hangings. And of course, there'll be a couple of more messages on this. But these were veils and curtains. And for the gate of the court, you know, there's the court, the outer court, set on pillars. And they had a curtain over it. You couldn't even see inside it. And therefore the gate of the court shall be a hanging of 20 cubits of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twined linen wrought with needlework, being embroidered. And their pillars that it hangs on shall be four, and their sockets four. So this is the hanging of the court. I think it's on the first page of this thing. That's the court, yeah. That right there is what we're talking about. Four pillars. And that's what we're talking about right there. That outward court, that hanging of the court. And then this outward hanging, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. It's on that very first page. That outer court, you see, the tabernacle's inside that outer court. And in this hanging, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as the way. You know, our Lord said He's the way, He's the truth, and the life. And when that hanging on that outer court, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as the way into that outer court. And the Scriptures teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. There's no other way. No other way. And that no man can find God as the Father. No one can know Him as God. No one can know Him as the Father except the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to go through Him. You got to enter through Him. And He Himself says no man. No man. So many places in the Scriptures where it says no man. No man can come unto me. And here he says, no man can come unto the Father but by me. And I wished I've told you this time and time again, if there was one message I could preach to a great, big, huge crowd, it would be this, that there's only one way to God. One person that God will allow you into His presence. And there's only one way into this tabernacle, into this outer court. And that veil hung up there showed that this is the only way in. And the moment that you walked behind that hanging, that outer court hanging, first thing you saw when you pulled that back, there was a brazen altar sitting right there. That's the first thing you laid eyes on. And when you was ready, walked in there, the first thing you was facing with was a brazen altar. And that brazen altar speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ. The brass could stand the fire. It could stand the wrath of God. It could stand the fire of the sacrifices offered on it. And so when you pushed it aside, you entered in there face to face with the brazen altar. And when you looked at that brazen altar, there was all kinds of blood on it and blood around it. You didn't walk in there and see this real pretty scene, this glorious looking scene. When you all pushed that aside, there's that brazen altar. Blood on it. It had horns on it, one on each corner, so that they put that sacrifice on there, it wouldn't fall off. And they set that fire and start burning it. And they went in there with blood. I'll tell you, they slew that animal and laid it on that altar, and blood was everywhere. That's what you was confronted with. When you went in there. And when you went in there, the first thing you couldn't come into that presence And behind that veil or behind that entering, without having that sacrifice and the shed blood. And you yourself couldn't offer it. You had to have somebody else to offer it. The high priest is the only one that could, the priest the only one could offer that sacrifice. And then when you went in there, you had to say that sacrifice was for me. And you confessed that you was a sinner and that you needed a sacrifice. And the only way you can come into the presence of God is by a bloody way. You got to have a sacrifice. You ain't got one. You ain't got a blood shedding. You ain't got one. Well, who in the world does? The way. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, when they come in there, you had to stand on the sole and absolute ground of your approach to God by that sacrifice, by that blood, and by that altar that only God, the high priest, the priest himself is the only one that could offer it. And beloved, you had to say, it's mine. It had to be like you read tonight. Lord, it's against you and you only that I sinned. And I confess, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Cleanse me thoroughly. And I tell you, if you, when you walked up there and saw that hanging out there, it's pretty on the outside. Beautiful on the outside. But boy, that's the only way. And when you opened that up and went in there, you was faced with a bloody altar, bloody sacrifice. And he had to, you know, over in Leviticus, and Scott Richardson used to preach this, and he said you had to lay your hands on the head of the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Why did you do that? To confess that this sacrifice is mine, and I confess my sins on this sacrifice so that I won't die and he'll die. And then the priest would take your sacrifice and go in there. Well, that's what we do when we come face that brazen altar. I need a sacrifice. I need blood shedding. That's the first thing, and you're going to approach God, that's what you got to do. First thing you face, sacrifice. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. And secondly, our Lord Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. Now let me tell you something. Christ is the Son, and Christ knows Him as the Father. He said, my Father, my righteous Father, my holy Father, my God. And I'll tell you what, if you want to know God as Father, as a Father, you got to know Him through His only begotten Son. And I'll tell you what, and when you face that brazen altar, that tells us about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't separate our Lord Jesus Christ from His cross no more than you can separate Him from the altar on which He was sacrificed. Now let me tell you something that I learned years ago, and I read through Gill's Body of Divinity, and the only thing I got out of it that really stuck with me, two volumes of it, big old books. I read through that thing, and the only thing I got out of it that really, really stuck with me was that Christ offered His humanity upon the altar of His divinity. What that means is that Christ Himself offered Himself, and the altar upon which He offered Himself was His deity, His Godhead. That cross was not an altar. You don't put criminals on an altar. That cross was not an altar for our Lord Jesus Christ. His own deity was His altar. I tell you what, Christ is our altar. How did He become our altar? How did He become one with us, and how did He do that? Well, He had His sinless humanity. And when He was on that cross, that humanity was offered on that altar of His divinity, His deity, His Godhead. That's the only way He could suffer and be able. He could suffer as a man. He could offer a sacrifice for sins as a man. He could suffer for sins as a man. But he could not satisfy God as a man. How can he satisfy God as a man? Being God. That's why God said he, Christ, became a sweet-smelling savor unto Christ. Ah, yes. And I tell you what, and just like you got to go by way of the cross, we say go by the way of the cross, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And when you walk through that veil and walk across that thing, the first thing you meet is blood before you go any further. You can't take another step further till you face that blood. Got to have blood. Without the shedding of blood, there ain't no sins going to be paid for. Huh? And just as he's the only way and the way to the Father, and just as our Lord Jesus was that altar and led the way by that altar and blood-stained ground, and every inch of it was blood-stained, and it was the way into the tabernacle. You know, before you could go into the tabernacle, where there was that veil in the tabernacle, and then two veils in that tabernacle. Before you could go into that tabernacle and approach where God was, the only way you could do it was go every inch of it as a bloody way. And so our Lord Jesus Christ is the way to God the Father, God the Son, God in every way that He is, as you go by the cross. And there He is, owned as our substitute for us, as our sin bearer for us, pouring out His blood for us. And yes, He's the way, pictured by that curtain. And I'll tell you something else. It was the only way in. There's only one door in that place. One way. One door. What did our Lord Jesus say about Himself? I'm the door. I'm the door. There ain't but one door. They say, you know, we all go in the same place, we just go different ways. No, no. Ain't but one way. If there was three or four doors, how would you be sure that you got in the right door? Somebody was going to the hospital the other day, said the best way to get in there is to go around this way and go in that door there. And I said, yeah. You know how many doors they got in places? But if there's only one door in the way, then you cannot be mistaken in how to get there. And Christ is the door, the only way. He is that door. And I'm going to tell you something. You keep this and look in John chapter 10 and verse 1. I want you to see this. I want you to see this. You know, He's the door. And religion wants to climb up some other way. They want to climb over the fence. They want to climb over the fence. In John chapter 10, look here at verse 1. Look what it says here. John chapter 10 and verse 1. Look what it says, our Master says here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. You know, and that's why a lot of folks, instead of wanting to go through the door, they got to figure out a way to get over. And in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, they were on the straight and narrow way. Christian and faithful were on their way to that celestial city. And they was walking along, and they met all these different characters along the way, and they was walking along, and as they was going the narrow way, all of a sudden this fella jumped over the fence and got right up with them and landed right where they was. And they told him, said, well, how did you get up here with us? Said, we started way back yonder, and we've been on this way a long time. He said, well, I found an easier way, and I'm up here even with you, and I just jumped over the fence. And they called him Mr. Talkative. You know why they called him Mr. Talkative? He knew a lot about a religion, but he didn't know anything about Christ. And they'd ask him questions. He just... But he climbed over another way. And beloved, I don't care how any way you go, besides through Christ, you'll end up wrong. Ain't that right? If you don't go through Christ, if you don't come to God, come to the Father, and come by bloody way, by way of His blessed cross and sacrifice, you'll end up wrong. You can't get to the end without starting out at the finish. Is that right? Starting out at the beginning. You can't get to the end unless you start right. Huh? Let me show you something else. Now look over here in Exodus 36 and verse 37. And we'll show you another hanging. He's the way. In Exodus 36 and verse 37. Now this is for the tabernacle. This is for the tabernacle. This is the tabernacle inside there. Y'all see that? This is the outer court. There's that brazen altar. Here's the tabernacle. Now, he's talking about making one for the tabernacle. In verse 37. And he made a hanging for the tabernacle door of blue. Now, every one of these was the same color. Blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen of needlework or embroidery. So now we want to talk about the hanging of the tabernacle. If the hanging of the gate that goes into the outer court was the way, this sets forth our Lord Jesus Christ as the truth. Now when you went behind that veil into the tabernacle, you went behind it, there was a revelation. When you went behind it, you saw things that you couldn't see in the outer court. And when you seen behind this one, and that priest had to go behind it, crawl under, crawl around it, get down, and the only way through is in there to go into that tabernacle. And he come face to face with three things that told the truth about our blessed Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing you saw was the table of showbread. Remember that table of showbread? When you walked in there, over here is the table of showbread. Made out of wood and gold. Incorruptible wood and gold overlapped. That incorruptible wood is our humanity of our Savior. The gold is His deity, His glory. And there was that table of showbread. And I tell you, the only people who could eat that showbread was those priests. And that tells us that we are sons and kings and priests unto God, and we, the only bread that we have, that they had, was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they told our master, said, you know, our fathers didn't eat manna in the wilderness, and they're all dead. And our Lord said, Moses didn't give you that bread, but my Father gave him that bread. My Father gave it to him. And you know what he said? I'm the true bread. Where'd you come from? From heaven. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. Now, is he talking about literally? No, he's talking about spiritually. And I tell you what, we feed on Christ. We feed on His flesh. We feed on His blood. That's our life system. That's what we live on and live by. And that showbread, that table, bore that bread. And our Lord Jesus Christ, bless His holy name. He is that true bread which came down from heaven. And that's why they told Philip, said, Philip, when our Lord said He's that bread, they said, you tell Him we evermore want this bread. Evermore. Give us this bread. Don't give us just one meal. Give it. And I'll tell you something else. Once that bread was eaten, there's fresh bread put in its place. You eat that bread, wouldn't get stale. They'd put some new on. And that's the way Christ is. He never gets stale. He's always fresh. And it's always new. I remember used to bake bread all the time. And listen, you don't want somebody to break bread two or three times a week. and then you get it out of the oven or out of your whatever you bake it in. You don't want to eat that 3-4 times a week. You get that stuff and it's hot, and you break it apart and get you some butter and just go to slather that butter on. Next thing you know, you're 25 pounds too heavy. But I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, listen, we can eat Him. And it's sweeter than honey, sweeter than honeycomb. It's the most tasteful thing I've ever ate in my life. I tell you, Christ is the most wonderful food I've ever ate. And I've eaten a lot of good food. We ate a lot of good food today. But there's nothing like feeding on Christ. It gives you life in your soul. It puts a spring in your step. It puts a twinkle in your eye. It puts joy in your heart. It puts peace in your soul. It fills you up to where you think, Lord, I can't take any more. And then you come back the next morning and say, Lord, I'm empty again. Ain't that the way we are? He's that showbread. And then he saw, next thing you saw was that golden candlestick. That golden candlestick. And it was made out of 7 branches. This thing was solid gold. Solid gold. Our Lord Jesus Christ, pure gold. Everything about Him is pure. No alloy in Him. No spot in Him. No blemish in Him in any way. And that golden candlestick, there is set. And the only light that they had was that candlestick. Now, what light do we have? What's the only light we have? Christ is the only light we have. Lord, light my way. The path of the just shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And that golden candlestick gave off as the only light that they had. The only light in that place, the only light, and bless His holy name. Here's another thing. The only light we have is Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm the light. He that walketh and followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Ain't that what He said? You can't walk in darkness if you follow Christ. A couple people asked me over the years, said, how do I know that I'm trusting Christ? I said, if you're trusting Christ, it's impossible to be fooled. You cannot be deceived and trust Christ. You can't do it. When you understand that He's everything and He's all you want and He's all you need, you cannot be deceived if you trust Christ alone. It's like, you know, said, I'm going to jump off this cliff. And I tell you what, I know somebody's going to catch me just as quick as I go off. And we jump off, and beloved, guess who catches us? The Lord Jesus Christ. When we're lost, who found us? The Lord Jesus Christ. When we're in darkness, who brought the light to us? The Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, the only light we have, and this light I'm talking about, Revelation, is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And I'll tell you something else. There were 7 branches that cold. And you know what 7 stands for? Perfection. We have a perfect light in Him. Perfect light in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfection. Everything about Him is perfect. Perfect. And our Lord Jesus said, I am the light, and he that followeth me, and I love this statement, shall not walk in darkness. He won't let you. You know why? Because he's the light. He ain't going to let you. And I tell you what, the only people who need light is people who was in the dark. Bats don't need light because they love darkness. Well, and then there's the golden altar of incense. When you went behind that veil, you saw 3 things. Table of showbread, the golden candlestick, and that golden altar of incense. And that golden altar of incense, There was a certain thing that they used to make the fragrance that they put on that altar. And they would crush a bunch of things together and they would put it in that incense. And they would, every day they had to light that. Every day they kept that thing full. And every day it was lit. And every day that thing went up. Sweet, when you went in there, all you could smell that incense. You could smell that incense. Back when I was in my hippie days, everybody used incense. Let me tell you, this is the truth, and this is kind of embarrassing. But back in them days, they had what they called head shops. And you go in there and you bought all kinds of paraphernalia and stuff like that. But you go in there and they had every kind of incense under the sun. And everybody, everywhere you went, they had incense stuck up. And in there they had three or four. You go in there and the first thing you smell is that incense. Boy, I like that. I'm going to take some of that home with me. And you like that incense smelling. Well, this incense right here was God's incense. God told them how to make it. Told them exactly what to put in it. How much to put in it. And beloved, God Himself smelled this. Let me show you. I think it's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. I tell you, beloved, this our Lord Jesus Christ, He's a sweet-smelling savor. In Ephesians chapter 5, look at here with me. You know, that table of showbread, the golden candlestick, and the golden altar of incense. And there's lots of people still burn incense. There's nothing wrong with it. But look what it says here. In Ephesians chapter 5, 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us. Now listen to it. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You know, if God smelled us as us, but He don't smell us. He smells Christ. Because He gave Himself an offering to God as a sweet smelling savor. And I tell you what, that sweet smelling savor goes up to God. And that sweet smelling savor, not only does it go to God, but it comes up before us. I mean, you know, when we hear Christ preach and the gospel preached, it's got the most wonderful fragrance and smell to us. Oh, it smells wonderful. Wonderful. And in these symbols, in all this tabernacle, and in this veil, and in that hanging, we see the truth of God's way in grace. God provided everything about that tabernacle. It was His pattern. It was His. Everything was made according to what He said. And that shows us that the way into truth is by grace. God provided everything. Just like grace. God alone provided salvation by grace. God alone provided His Son to be our Redeemer. God alone brought glory to His Son and His Son alone. And I tell you, outside of that tabernacle, outside that outer court, you couldn't know anything. You couldn't know anything. But when you went in, that's when you learned something. And I tell you what, when you got in that tabernacle and went behind that thing, behind that veil, there you saw truth. And it can only be revealed through our Lord Jesus Christ in God. You see, Christ is the truth about God and the truth of God. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at the other one over here in Exodus 26, verse 31. Let me show you another one. 26:31. And we're going to have to go back and look at these veils again. There's so much about these veils to deal with. I got two more messages on the veil. I'm just hitting the high spots tonight. Look in Exodus. This is the veil into the holiest of holies now. There's a veil. The tabernacle is 15 by 45. And when you went in it, then there's another veil, 15 by 15. There's this veil here, the table of showbread, the candlestick, and the golden altar. And then you went behind another veil, and there was nothing there but the mercy seat. And under that mercy seat was the Ark of the Testimony. So this is that veil that goes into the holiest of holies. Verse 31. Notice every one of these is the same color. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen of cunning work. And the only difference is they're going to put cherubims in this one. And cherubim shall it be made, and thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks, what you hang them on, shall be of gold. You know, you ladies hang these curtains. You got things that you hang them on. Well, they're going to hang this curtain on gold. Gold hooks going to be up there to hold this one up. Those things going to set on four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tashes, that they mayest bring it in hither within the veil of the Ark of the Testimony. And the veil shall divide between you and the holy place and the most holy. Two places, the most holy. And as beautiful as those other two hangings were, the one on the outer court and the one into the tabernacle, this veil was exceptionally, exceedingly glorious, more beautiful. And I tell you what, we'll deal with the color one of these days, but the color, gorgeous in color, beautiful in color. And then, you know, when you had that thing, you had these two cherubims embroidered in it, just like over the mercy seat, these two cherubims, and they're facing one another, just like over the mercy seat. And I tell you, when they outspread their wings and there they were hanging there in that veil, and that showed the powers of deity and the ability that they could fly and take the gospel anywhere in the whole universe if they would to be. And I tell you, and if that hanging, the hanging of the gate represents the way, and the hanging of the door of the tabernacle represents the truth, this veil shows our Lord Jesus Christ as life, the very life of God Himself. And that's why when you went, they said it'll separate you between the holy place and the most holy place. You know what the difference was between this veil here and those three pieces of furniture, and that veil and this one behind it? You know what the difference was? God dwelt behind the last one. He sat on that mercy seat. We sung, "Oh, how merciful, oh, how merciful." God said that He sat on the mercy seat. God sits where mercy sits. He sits on mercy. And old John Bunyan said one time, he said, he's got bags of mercy he ain't even opened yet. And every once in a while he'll open one of them bags of mercy, and he'll cause that just to open up on you. A big rain of mercy and rain of grace come down on you. And oh, I tell you what, He's the truth and the way and the life. And when you went behind that, that's where God dwelt. That's where holiness dwelt. There's where righteousness dwelt. There was the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat was. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He's life. You know, here's the blessed thing about Him. There never was a time when He wasn't life. When He was in eternity with His Father, before He ever came in time, He was life. You know how God made the world and created everything in the world? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord says, it says about Him, by Him and for Him were all things created. By Him and for Him were all things created. And by Him, everything that exists, exists. He was life before He ever got here. He was light before He ever come into this world. He was the light that lit up glory. He was the way before you ever come into this world. And I tell you what, and when he come into this world, that life from eternity broke into time and took upon himself humanity. And he was eternal, he was eternity with his Father. And for us to be saved, for God to redeem us, for God to wash us and cleanse us and make us acceptable, our Lord Jesus Christ came down here and was made flesh. And God became visible in his blessed Son. And John said it like this, that life, that eternal life, we have seen it, we have touched it, and we have handled it. That's what he said about it. He said that eternal life from the Father, we've seen it, we've touched it, and we've handled it. And I tell you what, and that's why he became visible. He could be seen and handled. And since the veil is a symbol, this one into the holiest of holies is a symbol of our Lord incarnate as eternal life. And it sets forth him as life which alone any man can enter within the veil and go behind that veil and enter into heaven and spend eternity with him as a child of God. Now I'm going to show you that over in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look in Hebrews 10 and I'll wind this up. Hebrews 10. We're going to deal with the ark, these veils again. But in Hebrews 10, look what it says about our Lord Jesus Christ. Down here in verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. Now where God was alone behind there, that's where life dwelt. That's where life dwelt. It dwelt behind that veil. That's where God dwelt. That's where mercy dwelt. That's where wholeness and righteousness was. And you got to enter that veil. And we'll get to enter it one of these days. Look what it says in Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. And in the margin it says liberty. Having liberty, confidence, to enter into the holiest. Now you notice what it says, the holiest. By the blood of Jesus. And then look what he says. It's a new way. And he says it's a living way. A living way. Oh my. You know why it's a new and a living way? Because Christ ever lives. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And by a new and living way which he hath newly made or consecrated for us. Now listen to this. He may open the way for us into this holiest of holy by his blood. And he made this new and a living way through the veil. What is that veil he's talking about? His flesh. And that's one of the things I'm going to talk about. That veil was rent in twain when our Lord Jesus Christ said it was finished. Well, Christ, his flesh, was a veil between us and God. And all the way there, and Christ said, that veil is opened away. Now we, ourselves, can come into the holiest. How? By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at this. And that veil was his flesh. That veil is his flesh. And that flesh, now, beloved, he's got flesh and bone. And then he said, and having a high priest over the house of God, whose house are we? Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. What are you washing with? With the blood of Christ. Huh? And I tell you what, he ripped that veil in two. We're going to deal with that. But let me close with this. Once our blessed Christ of beauty was veiled from human view, but through death, suffering, death, and sorrow, he has rent the veil in two. Oh, behold the man of sorrows. Oh, behold him in plain view. Lo, he's the mightier conqueror, since they rent to fell into. Hey, we'll deal with something else. We'll deal with this again next week. God.